Rav to Yeshaya, Perek Memhei, Pasuk Ches. Harifu Shamayim Imal. Pour out the heavens from above. Ushchokim Yizlu Tzedek. And let the upper heights drip with righteousness. Tiftach Eretz V'yifru Yesha. Let the earth open up. And the salvation will flourish. Utstoko, together with the goodness, Tatzmiach Yachad, they'll all sprout forth together. Ani Hashem Barosiv. I am Hashem who created this. We had mentioned before how Hashem was going to bring Koresh. He commanded Koresh. This was in advance. This is in the times of Yeshaya HaNavi. But eventually there would be a Babylonian Empire and we would be exiled. And Koresh would give the command to that the Jews can go up and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And now Hashem says, there's going to be, and then it said right before this, Yotzer Or Uvori Choshech and Pasuk Zayin, I create opposites. There's light and darkness, there's peace and bad. For Klal Yisrael, there will be the time of the light. The Geula is coming, the redemption. There'll be Yotzer Or for Klal Yisrael, and for Bavel, the Babylonians, there'll be darkness. They'll be get their punishment. There'll be peace for Yisrael, and the bad things will happen to Bavel. And now the pasuk continues, Harifu Shamayim Imal, that the heavens are going to, Harifu actually can mean like drops of rain. Yaruf kamotar likhi. To drop like the rain. Harifu Shemayim Imal. The Shemayim will pour out the drops of rain. Ushchokim Yizlu Tzedek. And from the firmament, there'll be an abundance. There'll be a pouring out of righteousness. Tiftach Eretz V'yifru Yesha. And it'll seem as if the land opened up its mouth and all of a sudden started to produce and to grow the salvation. Utstoka Tatzmiach Yachad. And there'll be all the goodness. It'll all be sprouting forth together. Ani Hashem Barosiv. I am Hashem who's prepared this. I've created it. That there'll be the punishment for the Bavel. And there'll be the reward for Klal Yisrael. That the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. The Malbim learns, and again I see here in the article, they actually translate it differently. Harifu to mean to pour, and Yizlu to drip. But the way the Malbim understands, Yizlu means to flow in an abundance. From the Shchokim is higher than the heavens. The upper heights, the firmament, the Shchokim is higher than the sky that we see, where the clouds are. And after the fact that the Novi discussed, everything comes from Hashem. Just beforehand, there's a Bria. Bria is Yesh Me'ayin. From nothing, Bereishis Bara Elohim. Hashem made a Bria of the Shemayim Va'aretz, and then afterwards he fashioned it, and he created, he took that raw material from which the substance of Shemayim Va'aretz, and he used that to fashion the world. On every one of the 6 days, everything was put into its place. Borei Choshech, Hashem created a world where if whatever he was Yotze, whatever he created was affected by whatever circumstances, it reverts back to the simple Choshech. If there's no peace and no goodness, it becomes bad. It becomes death if there's no life. It reverts back to that simple borei. But Yotzer Or, Hashem created an existence of light, uvorei choshech. And where there's no light, it reverts back to the darkness. Ose Shalom, Hashem made peace. And Ose is a term that's even more advanced than Yotzer. Yotzer is to fashion, and Os is to complete. And the piece is where everything finds its place and it's completed. Osa Shalom. But where there's no peace, Uvori Ra, goes back to disarray, into chaos and bad, evil. Ani Hashem Osa Kol Eilem. I'm Hashem who's done all of this. This is the world as Hashem made it. And now the Navi continues. After clarifying that everything is by the will of Hashem, and Hashem is only Yotzer Hashem, everything is good from Hashem. But where it's ruined because of our Averis, because of the wrongdoing, it reverts back to the negative. But it's all from Hashem, everything that comes is Kulo Tov, it's all good. So now the question is that we do seem to see things in the world that seem to be bad, that bad catastrophes happen, and there's a lot of suffering that seems to be acts of God. So the Malbim explains that Hashem is always Mashpia, that from Hashem comes out Tov and Chesed. It's always good and kindness. And if in our world we see Ra, we see bad, it's because we're Mitzad HaMakabel. As the recipient, the ones that are on the receiving end, we're not able to receive the goodness, and therefore it ends up being bad. And he gives an example. If you take a look at the rain, and it rains in the normal quantity of rain that would be very beneficial if the farmer planted the field. So if he plowed it and he planted the seeds and the rain comes down, the farmer is happy. This is exactly what he needed, this rain, that everything should grow. Now, if he didn't plow and plant, and he just has an empty dry piece of land, and it gets that amount of rain falls, so all that causes is his shoes to get muddy, and everything's dirty, and he can't sit on the ground, and the whole thing is just a very unpleasant experience. Now, if you ask, is the rain good or bad? The truth is the rain is very good. That things wouldn't grow without the rain. But if he just has a bunch of dirt, so the rain just creates mud. So whatever Ra we might see in the world is a result of Mitzad HaMakabel, as us, and being the recipients, we're not able to use the goodness of Hashem, and therefore it's like the rain comes and it makes a bunch of mud. Because the land hasn't been prepared.
How about a flood or something like that?
That's a good question. The truth is, we don't really. I don't know if we're able to fully comprehend this. You know, this is, I guess, the mushel, the concept behind it. You're right. There are certain natural catastrophes we can't understand. You know what? Perhaps if we would learn the lessons from them, it would be beneficial for the world. I'm not sure exactly. But this pasuk is telling us that, first of all, there's an abundance, this rain that can be pouring out of the shchokim, out of the firmaments, the upper heavens. But Hashem knows that the world can't receive that amount of rain. And therefore, it's as if that tremendous amount of rain is released to the clouds, but the clouds bring them down as drops of rain in a more controlled manner, that less of it falls and it doesn't all drop like an ocean full of water. Again, the truth is the Gemara does discuss whether our rainfall, it's interesting, the Gemara discusses, is the rain really coming from the skies above the clouds or is it coming from the earth? Nowadays, you know, we know the scientific explanation of evaporation. The Gemara discusses it, but you know, to fully understand it, I don't know if we're able to totally grasp it, but the idea is what the Pasuk seems to say as the Malbim explains it, is Harifu Shamayim Imal. From the heavens the rain falls, drops of rain fall. Ushchokim Yizlu Tzedek. And the truth is the Shchokim above that have tzedek pouring out. If you think of the rain as righteousness, as goodness, what's going to cause the earth to flourish and to grow. So from the shchokim, it's pouring out. But from our Shamayim, it only drips out. The rain is more controlled. So this goodness is coming from Hashem. But Tiftach Eretz V'Yifru Yesha, if the earth opens up and it's been plowed and planted and there's some preparation down here that the earth is ready to receive that rain, then Tiftach Eretz, the earth can open up V'Yifru Yesha and salvation can sprout forth. And this rain will cause things to grow. The utstaka tatzmiach yachad, together with the righteousness and the goodness, it'll all sprout forth together. If we do tztaka, if we prepare, and again, we're sort of comparing the mushel with the rain, and as an example in general of the goodness from Hashem. But if we've made our preparation, just like if we plow the field, the rain is good. If we prepare ourselves with our mitzvos, that we have the tztaka, so then Hashem prepares a shefa, there's an abundance coming from Shamayim, that if we're prepared and we do our mitzvos together, we'll receive all goodness. Hashem is prepared to shower us with goodness, and sometimes we're just not able to receive it. But Tiftach Eretz, if the earth opens up, V'Yifru Yesha, so that the salvation can grow, utztaka, together with our tztaka, tatzmiach yachad, and it'll sprout together. Ani Hashem Barosiv. I'm Hashem who's created this. So the goodness, the yitzira, the way Hashem fashioned everything, is all good. If we're not able to receive it, and because of our averis, because of our wrongdoing, we're not prepared, so then it reverts back to the borei choshech, to the darkness, which was the initial Berea, which was Hashem created a world where if the yitzir is not able to be there, if you can't have the yotzer, or if you don't have the oseh shalom, it goes back to the ra and the darkness. And and now the Novi says, Hoy Rav Es Yotzro, woe is to the one who argues with his creator. Cheres Escharsei Adoma, he's like a shard among the shards of the earth, like a piece of broken pottery. A broken pottery that's worthless. And he's going to argue with his creator. Hayomer Chomer LeYotzro, does clay say to the one who forms it, Matase? What are you doing? Ufa olcha, ein yodayim lo. Ufa olcha, what you've created, ein yodayim lo. He doesn't have skilled hands. You've created something that can't do anything. He doesn't have hands. And the next pasuk, and we'll take the two psukim together. Hoy omer la'av matolid. Woe is to the one who says to a father, matolid, what have you given birth to? Look at the son you had. You know, he's talking. The son's talking. Look at what kind of a child he gave birth to. Uleisha matchilin. Or if somebody says to a woman, matchilin, for what have you gone into labor? You had all the labor pains. What was it worth to have me? To have this child? The Mitzudas learns that this is referring to the last one of the kings of Bavel. Actually, the Babylonian Empire didn't last very long. There was Nebuchadnezzar, Evil Merodach, and then there was Belshazzar. He was the last. And Belshazzar, he calculated when the Geula was supposed to come, the Gemara says. And according to his calculation, the 70 years, they knew it was going to be a Golos of 70 years. When the 70 years came, according to his calculation of when to start the count, and nothing happened, he made a party and he took out the kelim from the Beis HaMikdash. He took out the vessels from the Beis HaMikdash. And the way the Mitzudas explains, Hoy Rav Es Yotzro, woe is to the one who argues with his creator. As if Belshazzar feels he can compete with Hashem. That, who are you, Hashem? I'm as good as you are and I can do whatever I want. And he takes the kelim from the Beis HaMikdash. Cheres Escharsei Adoma. He's like a piece of worthless pottery. And indeed, that night, what happened was the Persians were attacking Bavel, and they were initially repulsed, and they were driven away, and Belshazzar made his banquet, his victory party, and he took out the kelim from the Beis HaMikdash. He was sure the Gula wasn't coming. But anyways, that night the Persians came back. Well, he was all drunk, and he was at the party, and they came and they conquered Bavel, and he was killed. He feels that he can use the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. He's worthless. Who is he to question what Hashem does? He felt that if Hashem allowed the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash to go to Bavel, it must mean that they're here to stay. Why would Hashem send it to Bavel if he wants it in Eretz Yisrael? It must mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care for the Beis HaMikdash anymore. He can't protect the Beis HaMikdash anymore. This exile is final, and it's so complete that even the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash he has out there in Bavel. That's like the person who says, Hoy Omer La'av Matolid. He says to a father, what are you giving birth to? This child is eventually going to die. Hopefully he'll live 120 productive, healthy, successful years. But eventually the child's going to die. Everything's. So what's the point of giving birth? What's the point that the mother has labor pains? But even though a person realizes that the child doesn't live forever, but there are, hopefully he'll accomplish something, there's a reason for it, he'll have his years on this earth. Hashem has his reasons why the kelim from the Beis HaMikdash ended up in Bavel. They were taken to Babylonia. That's not a question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his reasons, and Belshazzar is going to be punished for the audacity and the brazenness to take the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash. On a totally different idea, turning from the Russia, the wicked Belshazzar, the way Rashi and the Ma'ari Kara mentions, this is actually referring to the Nevi'im in Klal Yisrael. Rashi says, Yeshaya said a Nevuah about Chavakuk. And Chavakuk was going to be a Navi. Chazal say he drew himself a circle. Like later on in history, there's somebody, Choni Hamagol, drew a circle, and he said he's not leaving the circle until it rains. But Chavakuk took a stand, he like put himself in his box, and he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want an answer. Why are the Rishoyim successful? People seem to be meaningless, like Vatase Odom Kidege Hayom. You made people like the fish. It seems there's no control over them. People just run and go and do whatever they want, and we don't see the Hashkach of Hashem. That's what Chavakuk said. The Ma'ari Kara says that he's referring, Yirmiyah also said a similar complaint. That Tzadikato Hashem, Yirmiyah said, I know that you're righteous, Hashem, whatever you do is right. But I want to ask you, Madura Derech Hashem Tzalecha, why are the wicked prosperous? Why are they successful? Nebuchadnezzar comes and he destroys your city, he exiles your children, and yet there's Erech HaPayim. You let Nebuchadnezzar, it seems like he gets away with it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, in the words of Rashi, in the middle, V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer LeYeshaya, Hashem says to Yeshaya, Loma Zebola Riviti, why is he coming to argue with me? He wants to argue, why do I allow the Churban, why do I allow Klal Yisrael to suffer? Savor hu she'eini sam alev lo shi'as ami. Does he think that I don't take it to my heart to save my people? Le'eis malos, when the time is completed, asher tirtze ha'aretz eshab soseha, when the land is appeased for all of those years of Shemitah and Yovel, when the land was not allowed to rest. There's a cheshbon, there was a certain amount of time they didn't keep the Shemitah. And because of that, there's 70 years of exile. As soon as the time is ripe, the Geula will come. Hoy Omer La'av Matolid, it's like somebody telling a father, what are you giving birth to? Rashi says, Kasavruhu, he thinks, Lios Merachim ala Bein Yosem Ayoviv, he has more compassion on the son than the father. He's questioning the father, is this the way you have a son? Nobody cares for the son more than the parents who created him. So too is the one who quarrels with his creator. I was thinking though but the truth is, even though it seems, it's also something worthy of, in need of study, but it seems that this was a general approach of all of the Gedolim and the Tzaddikim, the Nevi'im. There's many examples where they actually argued with Hashem, and it seems that they're held that was not the right thing to do, and yet you see consistently there's that if they're doing it for Klal Yisrael, that seems to be an approach. We've mentioned Chavakuk and Yirmiyah. The truth is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said at the end of Parsha Shmos, Lomazesh Shlachtoni, why do you send me? Umayoz Bosi El Paro, from the time that I came to Paro, things have gotten worse. And in Parshas Va'eir Hashem answers them, I appeared to the Avos and they didn't question me. And I send you and all of a sudden you question, you can't wait to see. I mean, the Gula is coming. But you see, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke that way. We see by Yonah. Yonah HaNavi, when Hashem wanted him to go to Nineveh and tell the people to repent, he fled on a boat. That's the whole story with Yonah swallowed up by the fish. He fled on a boat. He thought if he leaves Eretz Yisrael, he won't get Nevuah. Because he didn't want this. He didn't want to have to go to Nineveh and spread the word of Hashem. So he fled. But Hashem came to him and he said, there's no option. You must go. And that's the whole story of Yonah. But the Nevi'im, very often, they sort of like, they did things that normally would not be tolerated at all. But for the love of Klal Yisrael, they took a stand that's seemingly difficult. But I was thinking along those lines. The truth is, the Ramban says in the Parshas Bichlukosai, at the end of Vayikra Perek Chavav, Pasuk Tezayin, the Ramban says there's two tochachas in the Torah. There's the tochacha in Bichlukosai, and there's the tochacha in Kisavo. And even though it's very unpleasant to listen to, and it's painful to hear all the terrible things that could happen and have happened, the punishments of the Torah, but if somebody studies them carefully, the Ramban says you'll notice that the two are totally different. The ones in Bechukosai are referring to the Churban Bayis Rishon, the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. The ones in Kisavo are talking about the second Beis HaMikdash. And he brings many, many proofs, just to mention a few. For instance, in Bechukosai, it says that he'll destroy all of the things used to worship the sun. The Chamoneichem, the things you worship, the worship the sun. Venasatis Pigrechem al Pigre Giluleichem. The dead bodies will be on their idols. But it mentions idolatry. It mentions Lahafrachem es Barisi, you live in a way that you're nullifying your covenant with me. In the first Beis HaMikdash, there was idol worship. In the second base, in Kisavo, the second Tochacha, it doesn't mention anything about idol worship. It just says, Im lo sishma, if you don't listen to the voice of Hashem to keep all of the mitzvos and live the way Hashem wants, if you don't keep all of the Torah, the punishment comes. And the truth is, in the second Beis HaMikdash, they didn't have idol worship, there wasn't murder, there wasn't immorality, there was chinas chinam. There was hatred among the Jews, amongst ourselves, and they weren't living the way all the mitzvos of the Torah. The Bein Adam L'Chaveiro was this point of it, the feeling for another Jew was lacking. And in Bechukosai, it says clearly how long the exile will be. V'tiretz ha'shav soseha, that the land will be appeased for all of those years that it wasn't able to rest. and after the 70 years, the land is able to rest, they'll come back. Actually, it doesn't say they'll come back. It says there'll be 70 years, and then of Zacharti, I'll remember my covenant with Yaakov and Yitzchak and Avram and the land, and I'll remember the Bris Rishonim. It doesn't say anything about coming back. Because the truth is, after 70 years, we didn't come back. The 10 tribes remained wherever they were. They were exiled earlier, they never came back. It was only Yehuda and Binyamin. And most of them didn't come back to Eretz Yisrael, they remained in Bavel. So it doesn't say anything about coming back. But 70 years will be 70 years, and they'll be remembered. In Kisavo, it doesn't say how long the exile will be. Because after the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there's no time limit. It mentions afterwards, in Nitzavim, you'll do tshuva. There is a time, there is an eventual time. But the Psukim just mention that we'll do tshuva, and then the Geula will come. One way there'll be tshuva, and there it says, "Im yeni dachacha b'kzei ha-shamayim," even if you're scattered to the ends of the earth, I'll bring you back. Because by the second exile, we're all over the earth, which is remarkable, as the Ramban points out, in his time, in the 1200s, how we're scattered over the whole earth, and then nothing's changed. And the last, he talks about the fact that Eretz Yisrael is desolate when the Jews aren't there. And this, you know, he wrote in the 1200s, and nothing changed for centuries. But that's in the first, it doesn't mention tshuva over here, it just mentions vidui, which you find Daniel and Ezra, they all said, Chatanu Avinu, we sinned, and that's why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, but you don't find tshuva. And there are many other differences. It mentions here, Bonim Uvonos Tolid, you'll have sons and daughters, they won't be yours, they'll go into captivity. That's mentioned in Kisavo. After the second Beis HaMikdash, the children were taken into captivity, but a lot of the adults remained. They remained there, and they remained on the land for decades, and they were persecuted, and finally Bar Kokhba made his revolt. But the people were on the land. Over here, you don't find anything. Over here, the children were exiled together with the parents. The land was desolate and empty when they were in Bavel. Chazal say for 52 years a bird didn't fly over the land. It was totally empty. I'm mentioning this because of the Rashi here. Rashi says, Hoy Rovas Yotzro. Yeshaya said a nevuah concerning Chavakuk. Those Nevi'im that questioned Hashem, why are you allowing the Rishayim to be successful? So Hashem answered them, do you think I don't pay attention, Lohoshias Ami, to save my people? La'is Malos, when you fill up the time of Asher Tirtza Aretz Hashab Soseho. Rashi says, you just have to wait the 70 years till the land has been appeased for all of those Shemitahs and Yovel where you worked the land and you weren't allowed to. That's a good answer for Chavakuk. That's a good answer for those, because the truth is the Torah does give an end. But if the question would be asked now, we don't have an answer for now. Yirtzeh Hashem, the Geula should come soon. So, the Malbim explains it as follows. According to the approach of the Malbim, Hashem has been saying that everything is under His control, the good and the bad, and Hashem is the Yotzer, but when we're not able to receive the goodness because of the Makavel, the recipients, sometimes it reverts back. We can't receive the life, and therefore in the absence of life, there's death. We're not able to have the light, and therefore there's darkness. But people would have a question, as the Malbim says, why couldn't the world be made in a different manner? In other words, the way we have the world, certainly this is the way the world is. And if you would create the person in a different way, that he wouldn't be affected, the world has a yetzira, your yotzer or, and the light can be pushed away and can be negated and blocked, and our actions can affect and turn the world, and therefore in the absence there's bad. But if Hashem would create it in a way that it would remain a constant, and nothing could be affected, all the goodness would be there permanently, and the world would not be the physical world that we need, that we know. So a person wouldn't be made out of basar, gidim, and atzamos, his flesh and the blood and the sinews and things that degenerate. We're talking about making a person, then it'd be like a malach, it'd be something spiritual. So I can understand why the world is like this. But the question is, you're right. If an Adam is being made as an Adam, and the world is being weighed the way we have the world, this is the way the world is. But why did Hashem have to make such a world? In other words, why didn't He make it in a better manner that the world should not revert to evil and should remain constantly good? And on this, the Navi continues, Hoy Roves Yotro, these psukim, the way the Malbim learns, this is like somebody who's trying to quarrel, to argue with his Creator. Or Hoy Roves Yotro Cheres, the one who's the creator of the pottery, Escharse Adama, but that's what he is. So he's arguing with a person who's a piece of pottery, he's arguing, why didn't you make a gold vessel? He is pottery. How could Hashem use him to make a gold vessel? How could his creator make him gold? That's what he is. Roves Yotro Cheres, the one who's pottery, Escharse Adama, he's like one of the pieces of shards, and he's going to argue, why didn't you make a gold vessel? Or if you're making pottery, why didn't you make it that it could move around like a cat or a dog or something like that? Should have life to it. It should be able to do things. But Hayomer Chomer Liotro Matase, could the Chomer, the clay, say to the one who forms it, what are you doing? Ufolcha in Yadayim Lo. Your creation doesn't have hands, it doesn't have skills. If it's a piece of clay, it can be made into pottery. You can't make a living organism, a living animal or something out of a piece of pottery. So if you're asking why Hashem didn't make the world, like imagine instead of taking the piece of pottery, why didn't He make it gold? Why didn't He make it all good? This is the way the world is. And if you would ask, so let's just make totally a different... So okay, this pottery, you're right, you can't make a gold vessel out of pottery, so ignore the pottery. Just make things out of gold. But hoy omer lo'av matolid, woe is to the one who says to a father, why are you giving birth, ul'isha matachilin, or to a woman, why have you gone into labor? Just like the father and the mother, from what they all give to produce that baby, it hopefully will produce the best possible. Hashem has His reasons why He wanted to make the world the way it is. And dealing with the fact that we should be people, He didn't want to create malachim, angels down here, He wanted us to be people. And He wanted us to be people and gain the awareness of Hashem, and live with the Torah, and have the challenges, and the difficulties, and the struggles, and the joy, and realize the kindness of Hashem. The way He wanted to create man, it's like telling the father, why did you give birth to a child? You should give birth to something else. He gave His best to create what He wants to create. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, He wanted to use the cheres. He wanted to, like somebody who wants to use the pottery. He doesn't want to use something else. And once it's pottery, pottery has certain limitations. And so too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this world that whatever Chesronos we see, whatever's lacking is because the Makabel. We're not able to receive the full goodness. As we said earlier, it's like the skies dropping the rain, but if we didn't prepare the land, it remains muddy instead of becoming fertile and growing. But this is the world that Hashem wants, and He wants us to do what we can do with it. And in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ko Amar Hashem Kedosh Yisrael V'Yotzro. So says Hashem, the Kedosh Yisrael, the Holy One of Israel, the Yotzro, the one who formed Klal Yisrael. Ha'osio she'oluni. Hashem says to the goyim, you can ask me what's going to be in the future. One way of translating ha'osios is, I would think it's from the Shoresh, like Amar Shomer, Osa Boker Vegam Loila. Osa means to come. Osa means to come. The truth is, Chazal learned out the word Es is Lerabos. Es comes to be Marbe. Osa, Es could be used from the word Osa, to come. It brings something along with it. It joins, it adds on. But ha'osios is what's coming. What will happen? Ha'osios shaluni. Ask me about the future. You want to know what's going to come to Klal Yisrael? What's the future of this nation? What does Hashem have in mind for the people of Israel? Ha'osios shaluni. You can ask me about the future. Al bonai val po'al yodai tzavuni. And for my children, al bonai, for my children, val po'al yodai, and what I've created, tzavuni, go to the Nevi'im and command them, find out from Hashem what is going to be with Klal Yisrael. If you want to know what's going to be and we're in Golos, inquire, ask the Nevi'im, command them to get an answer from Hashem. But Rashi explains, ha'osio shaluni. If you want, you can ask me about all of the osos, the signs, the wonders. You want to know, is there any significance to certain signs and miracles and wonders? You can ask everything like that. Osio shaluni. You can inquire for me about whatever osos and mosim you see. But Hashem says to the Nevi'im, Rashi learns this is addressed to the Nevi'im, Al bonai val po'al yodai tzavuni. But are you going to command me regarding my children, val po'al yodai, what I've created? Are you going to complain? And as Rashi ends off, ani kvar barosi lehem hayeshua b'machshava sh'ol salafonai. My thoughts are already for the geula. It's as if it's already happened before Hashem. I've already planned Koresh, the Gula is already here, so you're complaining about Nebuchadnezzar, the Churban, Bayis Rishon, and it seems that the Gula hasn't come yet. It's already here. You don't have to command me about my children. And the Malbim learns, we actually talked about Koresh earlier. We had at the beginning of Perek Memhei, started actually in Mem Dalet and Mem Hey, Hashem said, I'm sending Koresh. And then we sort of took a break in the middle. We were mafsik. And we discussed how Koresh will be coming, but you should know everything, good and bad. Everything is with the Ratzon of Hashem. Hashem is Mashpia, the good. And if we're not able to receive it, to us it might hurt, it might feel like bad. And we had these psukim discussing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who brings everything about. Ha'osio shaluni. Klal Yisrael is asking me about everything that's coming to them, coming on them. The Golos and the Yisurim, what they're suffering with Bavel. Ha'osio shaluni. You're asking me about what's happening. Al bonai va'po'al yodai titzavuni. But are you going to command me about my children, about what I've created? Certainly the father has rachmanis on his children, and it's for their benefit. And if they're not able to receive the goodness now, but it all has a reason and a purpose for it. Anochi ha'iro sihu v'tzedek. I am the one who's aroused Koresh v'tzedek, and it was just. The fact that I aroused Koresh to come and destroy Bavel, it was Betzedek. Bavel deserved it. They deserved to be conquered and destroyed. I aroused Koresh with Tzedek, v'chol d'rachav ha'yasher, and I saw to it that the paths were straight, that he was easily able to enter Bavel and conquer it. Actually, I'm up to Pasuk Yud Beis. I missed a Pasuk. Are you going to command me about my children? And a pasuk Yud Beis. Anochi Osisi Eretz. I've made the earth. V'odom Aleha Barosi. And Adam I've created on it. Everything is mine and everything I control. Ani ayodai natu shamayim. I stretched out, spread out the heavens. V'chol tzva'am tzivesi. And everything that's in the shamayim, I've commanded it to exist. And if you were to, and as the Malbim explains, if somebody doesn't give help, it's either he doesn't want to, he doesn't have that rotzon, or he's not able to. If somebody's able to help and he wants to help, he will help. But by Hashem says, if you're in galus and suffering, you should know I'm able to help and I want to help. So if you're wondering why we're suffering in the galus, you should know Anochi Osisi Eretz. And again, the word bara is the initial creation. And then you can be yotzer, to fashion it, to form it, to give it its tzura, its the form. And also is when you've made it and completed it. Anochi Osisi Eretz. I have made the earth. The earth was totally prepared. The waters were separated from the dry land, from the land, and on the land everything grew, and then Hashem made the animals and the all the living creatures. V'adam aleha barasi. And then the Bria of Adam. Adam was created, 1, 2, 3. There was nothing, there was no steps, and there weren't different days of Maisa Bereishis creating Adam. Maisa Bereishis, every day Hashem was created, he was Osa. Anochi Osisi Eretz. And the involvement was with the Eretz, not with the Shamayim. Whatever Hashem did in Shamayim was also 1, 2, 3. The fact that the sun or the planets were put there on the fourth day, it's all lahoyer to give light and for the purposes of man. Everything revolves around the Eretz, and that was Osisi. Everything was finished. And then va'adam aleha barasi. And then I created Adam. So you see the concern and the ratzon that Hashem wants everything to be there for us. And as far as the yecholas of Hashem, ani yodai notu shamayim, my hands, I myself, kavi yochol, I stretched out the shamayim, v'chol tzvam tzivesi, and I commanded the existence of everything that's in the Shamayim. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, unlimited ability, the Bala Yecholas, all the Kochos, everything Hashem has. And He did everything for Adam. Anochi Hayiro Siu V'Tzedek. And as far as the Geula comes, I've already prepared that. I have the Yecholas, I have the Ratzon, and Anochi Hayiro Siu V'Tzedek. I've aroused Koresh, B'tzedek, with righteousness. Either it means B'tzedek, to destroy Bavel, is what they deserve. Or B'tzedek, to bring goodness to Klal Yisrael. I've aroused Koresh. V'chol derochav ayasher. And all of his paths, his route is straight, that he'll be able to accomplish his goal. Hu yivne iri. He'll build my city. V'galusi yishaleach. And he'll send out my exiles. And when you build something, usually it costs. But lo b'mechir, there won't be any price for it. Koresh will not demand any payment from the Jewish people for the assistance he's going to give toward the building of Yerushalayim. He's going to be happy to send, he'll help out, he'll send supplies. We've mentioned he didn't do enough, but he did a lot. He sent supplies, and there was no price for that, because Hashem wanted him to have that desire, and therefore Lev Malachim Besarim Biyad Hashem. The heart of the kings is in the hand of Hashem, and Hashem wanted Koresh to do it. Lo b'mechir, there was no price. When you send out a slave, usually if the slave wants his freedom, he'll have to bribe the master. Give him, pay him off a certain amount to let the slave go. V'lo b'shochad. But there won't be any bribe to let the exiles go. All of the people living in Bavel, and now they're going to leave and go to Eretz Yisrael. He gave permission for everyone to go. But v'lo b'shochad. It won't require any shochad. Amar Hashem Tzavakos, Hashem says. Because Hashem has the Yecholas and Hashem has the Ratzon. So we don't question why we have the Skolas. The Geula will come right then. And Pasuk Yedalad. Ko Amar Hashem, so says Hashem, Yegia Mitzrayim. This is all told Yeshaya what's going to happen later in history, with after Golus Bavel, the end of Golus Bavel. But right now, we're still dealing with the Assyrian Empire, Ashur, Sancheiriv, who is their king, who is going to surround Yerushalayim and be destroyed. Ko Amar Hashem. And Hashem says, not only later in history, but right now in the times of Yeshaya HaNavi, Sancheiriv is going to come to Yerushalayim. But he's going to hear news that somebody, Tirhoka, the king of Cush, is planning to attack him. He's going to take his army and he's going to go back and defeat the people of Cush. And he also conquered, Mitzrayim went to help out Cush. So Egypt will be also conquered. And after he fights these other battles, he's going to come back to Yerushalayim. There he's going to be destroyed. You should know this is all part of the heavenly plan. Ko Amar Hashem, so says Hashem, Yegia Mitzrayim, all of the toil of Egypt, what they worked and they amassed a tremendous wealth, Uschar Kush, and the merchandise of Kush, all of the treasures and wealth of these nations are now going to be taken by Sancheiriv, and he's going to bring it back to Yerushalayim. Usavoyim, and the people of Savo, Anshe Mido, who were men of stature, they were giants, they were tall people. All these nations are going to be brought by Sancheiriv to Yerushalayim. And you're wondering why. It's not part of Sancheiriv's army. It's these other people that he conquered, these other nations. Because Alayich Yavoru. Because they're going to pass to you. V'loch Yiyu. They'll become yours. The wealth of Mitzrayim and Cush, he's bringing it to your doorstep. Right outside Yerushalayim. And then it'll be yours to you to take. Acharayich Yelechu. And as far as the people of Savoim, these Anshe Mida, men of stature, they were strong, good slaves to help out. Acharayich Yelechu. They'll go after you. Bazikim Yavoru. And they'll pass in chains. They're put in chains by Sancheiriv. He captured them. And then, once Sancheiriv is destroyed, they become yours to serve. Veilayich Yishtachavu. They'll prostrate themselves. They'll fall flat on the ground to bow down to you. Elayich Yispalolu. And their awe and their fear for Klal Yisrael will be so great, it's like they'll daven to you. Ach Boch Kael. And they'll say, only amongst you is Hashem. Ve'eno, there is no other gods. There's no other force. Nothing. Ephes Elohim, except for Elohim. So, not only the Geula later, but in the times of Yeshaya, you will see all of the wealth that's brought to you. Ochein, indeed. Ata kel mistater. But the truth is, right now, you are HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ata kel mistater, who conceals himself. Elokei Yisrael Moshiach. The God of Israel, Moshiach, who's the Savior, who'll save you. It's like somebody playing hide-and-go-seek, and he sees the other person, but he's hiding behind a bush. Mistater means a person who hides himself. Atakel mistater, it's like a Kadosh Baruch Hu sometimes conceals his presence. But Hashem sees you, and Hashem knows what's going on. And when the time comes, there's a hester upon him, but Elokei Yisrael Moshiach. but the Elohim of Klal Yisrael, Moshiach, who's the one who will save them. Yeshua should come soon. They go to the Kriv of Mehir V'Yameinu. Stop here.